Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. You're going to feel like you're going to have flashbacks in college now. But you don't have to go over it today, some of these. They're for you to take home and look over.
Cool, homework.
Yes. At your own leisure. No grade, thankfully. Not going to be on a test. So just doing some. You can share? Okay. That's nice of you. You're welcome. Now, I know everyone has internet. Everybody has access to a lot of good stuff. But if I can provide us... What's that? This would be perfect for you then, Miss Gail. Sure, yeah, you can do that if you want. That's part of it right there. Yeah. I told you it's heavy duty today. And they're sharing, okay? Okay. Yeah, the two of these pages, you guys can just look over at home on your own time. The one of my notes, we'll kind of see how far we get through it today. Yep. So the things, okay, perfect. Good to know. Yeah. There you go, brother. Yep. Yep. All right. Everybody good? Excellent. Two books that have really helped me recently through Revelation has been this one here. They're both by the same author. Mark Hitchcock, 101 Answers to Questions About the Book of Revelation. Now this is he goes through each chapter, but he doesn't go verse by verse. He only takes out verses that need an explanation. That's it. Really helpful. You know, and then this one here by Mark Hitchcock is excellent as well, The End. And this one, these newer books deal a lot with a lot of the new school theology that's come out. So from our point of view, a lot of these books that we have like this are kind of more old school. They're really good, but they're old. And they don't address the new theology that's come out today. What I like about these books is he brings in every perspective in his writing. So he'll have like the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, all those sayings and those different beliefs he brings in here and says, why he's for or against it, right? How it's clear, how it's unclear. He also has a book that I'm going to get, and he writes in a way to where you can understand. He doesn't write theological. He's not writing to other professors or other pastors. He's writing to a lay person to understand these truths. And his other book he wrote with a guy, Ed Heinzen, Hedson's his name, and it's called Can We Still Believe the Rapture? Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? And that book goes really thorough on all the views. Can we still believe in the rapture? And they go through every single view, and they show the strong points and the weak points. Even in pre-trib, they'll say, hey, here's our belief. It's a weak belief, but here's why we believe it. And an example would be, it's on our list as the 24 elders. Some believe the 24 elders in Revelation, because it's after the church is raptured. It's in Revelation, 24 elders represent the church because of their crowns, their clothes, and they're worshiping Jesus up in heaven. So that's a pre-trib view. Now, if that's true, which we don't know who 24 elders are, right? It's a weak view. But if that view is true, then it would prove the church being in heaven, you know, before the tribulation period starts, because the 24 elders are mentioned, you know, after the church letters. So again, it's a weak view, but that's a view they have, right? So he would even say that. Here's a weak view, but it is our view. But these books have been really helpful, and I will admit, eschatology is one of my weaker points, because a lot of eschatology deals with, you know, new theology, new things that have come out, people dissecting things. And for me, what I do is I step back. Actually, let's go ahead and pray before I get into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We are so grateful and thankful for truth. We're thankful, Lord, for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our salvation. Lord, we're just so grateful that the Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us, and that we have a high priest that intercedes for us to you, Lord. And Father, again, with this different views of the rapture, again, it's not a doctrine to divide over. It's just a doctrine to look into for more understanding. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom and discernment and allow your Spirit to teach us that which we need to know. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so on the page here, on our pre-trib page, the other two were copied out of the book. Those you can look over, and again, it's going to prove kind of more of a pre-trib view. But you guys can look at that stuff later. These notes, you're going to find grammatical issues. So if you're an English buff, you're going to have massive problems with this, okay? Because I just threw this together in no particular order on just things that I look at, and then one, a weak point, the 24 elder view. Now, at the top there of our pre-trib page, a key issue for the timing of the tribulation period is, will the church go through any or all of the seven-year tribulation period before the rapture occurs? That's the big thing, right? That's the whole argument, debate, if you will, is we know we believe it's a literal 7 years. I mean, that's kind of undeniable. The amillennial, I don't know why they believe all that allegorical stuff, but they do. It's a choice they have. And again, dear brothers in Christ, they're born-again believers like us, many of them. It's just that they want to believe that the millennium is a figurative of speech. It's not a real 1,000 years, that abomination of desolation already happened in 70 AD. And it's just that is a very weak perspective. Okay. Now, when we look at the tribulation period, okay, who is the tribulation period dealing with? Israel. Is it the church? No, it's not the church. What's the whole point of the tribulation? What's the whole point of it? It's to save Israel. It's to save Israel, right? And bring a judgment upon the Gentiles. It's to save Israel. Like Romans does a great job of all will be saved, right? There's going to come a point to within the tribulation period, all the Jews will be saved. And the Gentiles get judgment from God, right? There's no church there. There's nothing dealing with the church, right? So it helps us to take a step back before we get real close on the timing of it and go, what's the point of the tribulation? Who's it even designed for, right? Which brings me to my next point. The tribulation is not a mystery. The tribulation is not a mystery, right? We know, right? Daniel 24 through 27, we know that we're going to have a 7-year period divided into 3.5 years, 3.5 years, right? We know for sure that Jeremiah 37 says the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel, the Lord tells Daniel, hey, it's going to be for your people Israel. The church is not mentioned. Is the church a mystery? Yes. Let me ask you this. Is the rapture a mystery? No? just the rapture in general. Did Paul ever say it's a mystery? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. The tribulation is not a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. Uh-oh. Anytime you see that mystery, Paul was given truths by Jesus Christ to tell the church. All right? Paul is given things that were hidden, were not told about. Now, the tribulation is not a mystery. So when Paul is given a mystery to explain to the church, it's to both Jew and Gentile, born-again believers, right? Now, what is this mystery, Paul? Because there's a few mysteries that Paul explains. We're going to look at one today in 1 Corinthians 2. All right, this mystery is, listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So there is the mystery. Something's going to happen, right? Something is going to happen dramatically. Now, again, the tribulation period is mentioned several times. I mean, if you look at Isaiah, pretty much Isaiah 40, chapter 40 to 66, is all about Israel being saved. It's all about a Messiah coming. It's all about, you know, millennium and future things for the Jews, right? Pretty much from Isaiah 40 to 66. Zechariah 14 talks about Christ coming down and ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. There's no mystery there, okay? We know certain things. Paul is saying, here's the mystery that was not talked about before. Jesus didn't talk about it. Which takes out Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we'll go into that here in a little bit. Christ didn't talk about it. Old Testament prophets didn't talk about it. It was revealed to me to tell you. Now, what is that? We're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Pretty cool, huh? So there's something mysterious that Paul is going to explain to a body of believers that was hidden before. Now, in Daniel, we know the Antichrist. We're not looking for him. Right? We're looking for Jesus. Now, there are things in Old Testament that point to signs and different things given to Jews for their signs to see. All right, so verse 53, for this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. When this corruptible will have put on incorruption, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then the saying that as written shall come to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. So there's going to be a moment when, boom, we're out of here. Now, again, there are mass differences between the second coming of Christ and the rapture. Just out of your mind, out of your heart, what's the difference? Yes. Yes. That's one of the biggest ones. Excellent, Ken. Perfect. Yep. At the second coming, Christ is coming down physically to rule and reign. There's going to be a judgment, right? We're going to have sheep and goats, right? There's no one in the middle, which takes away a post-trib. Okay? Which a post-trib person believes that there's going to be a group of people, because if the rapture happens after tribulation, everyone is either going to, you know, go to hell, or we're going to go up and come down. Physical people then cannot go into the millennium and have babies and rule and reign and be deceived. So it takes away post-trib. That's a big one against post-trib. Okay, because there's going to be physical people here, right, that go into the millennium. So anyways, that's the difference. At the second coming, Christ comes down to rule and reign. The rapture, we go up to meet him. One is a looking forward to for our Messiah. The church, you know, the bride is taken to go be with the Lord. And then the other one is Christ comes down with his bride to rule and reign. Actually, that is a tribulation verse. People will be eating and drinking before a second coming. The Gentiles will be doing that. Yeah, we'll get into that here in a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So that paper I gave you, Matthew 24, and it'll go into that. Yep. So, yeah, that actually is a tribulation verse. All right, so going forward here. So, third paragraph. We believe that the church will be raptured out before the literal seven-year tribulation period. Okay, in Daniel 9, 24, 27, the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with Israel, ushering in the tribulation period. Now, here's, I think, where a lot of confusion comes in. Just because we believe in a pre-trib rapture, that does not mean the tribulation starts right after the rapture. I think it's a common misconception. People link like the rapture, then instantly the tribulation starts. That's not true. That doesn't have to be true. What ushers in the seven-year period? You guys know? Right? But what does he do? He signs a peace treaty. Yes. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. The signing of the peace treaty, when that happens, the seven-year period starts. Okay, the 70 period starts at the signing of the peace treaty, according to Daniel. That's when the clock starts ticking, when that document is signed by the Antichrist. Not the rapture. The rapture isn't the sign for the tribulation. There's no signs for the rapture. I think that's a common misconception. Like, we think that, oh, the rapture, tribulation will start right away. No, it doesn't have to be. It could be a week, a month, a year. We don't know. The rapture isn't the marking of the seven-year tribulation. It's the signing of the seven-year covenant, or signing of the covenant, rather, with Israel. That's what the tribulation people will be looking at, right? Does that make sense? I don't think we will see that, yeah, right. So anything that we see isn't going to be, because how many peace treaties have been signed so far? I mean, many, right? Yeah, many. Right, they're doing it right now. But it doesn't mean it's the Antichrist, right? Right, exactly. It does. Yeah. Yeah, and for that to happen, they can flip a switch right now and have it built, you know, they have all the materials ready. You know, they did it in, 40 days before? They can do it again with modern technology, 50 days. So yeah, absolutely. That's why I don't believe that the rapture will instantly go into tribulation. I believe there will be a time. But there could be. Ezekiel 38 is Armageddon. Yeah. That's at the... Yes. Yeah. All right, which one are you thinking of? I don't know. I'll look into it. Yeah. I'll check it out. I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah, and that's just it. Right, and there's not going to be a war. There's going to be a threat of war. So, yeah. Right. True. Yes, I don't have anything definitive on that right now. Yeah. I was thinking of Gog and Magog. I'm sorry. That's at the, you know, right at the tribulation before the millennium comes in. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, so that part, yes, where all the nations surround Israel, right, and the peace treaty is signed, yeah, that's going to happen before, because they're going to give 7 years to burn the weapons. Now, they're not going to take all 7 years to do that, you know, to that 3.5 year mark, boom, they're bailing. They're fleeing to the mountains. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry, I was thinking of Gog and Magog coming. Yeah, not that one, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll look at it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good. Excellent. Yep, the rapture does not stop the tribulation, but the peace treaty with the Antichrist. That's the big thing right there. Now, here are raptures. And again, one belief for a pre-trib believer is that Jesus is going to come deliver his people from wrath to come. Right? So the church is delivered before God's wrath comes down. Now, that's the hope that we have. Now, it's not saying that we're not going to have tribulations, right? We're not going to have trials. Christ actually taught against that. He says you will have tribulations. You will have trials. In 2 Thessalonians, they were believing at that time that they had missed the rapture because they were going through tribulations, right? They were being persecuted big time. And so Paul says, no. You didn't miss it, right? You're going to be delivered from God's wrath. That's not, you're not given to wrath. So, and that wrath there is God's judgment on the world, right? God's judgment on the world. Any questions on that, on God's wrath? Yeah. Yes, the day of the Lord, yes, is when judgment comes. It's usually the day of the Lord, well, there's judgment the day of the Lord. So it can be mid-trib, you know, it could be usually, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, let's look. Because the day of the Lord is in 1 Thessalonians. I believe the day of the Lord is there. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the rapture, right? Now, in verse 5, there's something different. He changes in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 1. Concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write to you, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, look at how he changes his verbiage. When they say, not us or we, notice the difference in verbiage here. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as a labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light. So in Revelation, in 1 Thessalonians 4, there's different language there. It's we. It's us. The day of the Lord is them. They. Two different groups of people. So the day of the Lord is encompassed with destruction. I look at it as the full seven. Some people say it's the 3.5, different things, you know, but I look at it as the full seven. Because as soon as we see Christ opening the seals, what happens? Judgment comes. Revelation 6:16 says that, you know, they're wanting the rocks to fall on them because of the wrath of the Lamb has come upon them. That's the first 3.5 years they're mentioning the wrath of the Lamb. Not the last 3.5, first 3.5. That the wrath of the Lamb's coming. So all the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and bowl judgments are all God's wrath. But notice the language there, interesting, huh? So when Christ comes as a thief, that's a tribulation verse right there. The day the Lord's come, you know, the tribulation saints, they must endure to the end. You know, the 10 virgins and the book of Matthew, that's a tribulation text of scripture there, okay? So anyways, we'll get to that stuff later. You guys doing okay? Okay. Any questions so far? So if God's people are going to be taken, actually, well, we're in 1 Thessalonians. Let's go ahead and read some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. For they themselves declare how we were received by you and how you turned to God from idols to serve living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from wrath to come. So if I'm waiting for a son to be received before wrath comes, I would think that that would be pre-trib, right? Because the whole tribulation period is God's wrath. That's, I'm just putting two and two together. If I'm waiting for a son, again, it's a glorious hope. It's something I'm looking forward to. Titus says it's a blessed hope, right? It's a blessed hope. I'm looking for Christ, me meeting Christ in the air. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for signs. I'm not looking for any of those things. I'm looking for Christ to come down and me to meet him. Boom. Twinkling of an eye. Okay, and then there's another one here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we shall live together with him. So comfort yourselves together and edify one another just as you are doing. So through your tough times, the coming Messiah, for us to meet him in the air, let that be a comfort to you. You're not going to go into, you know, the wrath of God. You're delivered from God's wrath. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then same thing in Ephesians, same thing in Revelation 3:10. Ephesians 2 says that you were a child of wrath. So in your unregenerate state, you were a child of wrath, but you were no longer a child of wrath. So an unregenerate person will receive God's wrath. Any questions so far? Okay, and you can look at, I have quite a few Old Testament verses that mention the Old Testament. Again, the Old Testament, to the pre-trib, has the most Old Testament use. Because we take it literal, that God's dealing with the literal nation of Israel, a literal 7 years. So there are more verses in the Old Testament to support that view. Does that make sense? More than any other. So there, that 7 year period is called God's wrath, even according to the Old Testament. All right, then we have a trumpet there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:52, connected with the church being raised, being the Lord in the air. Some people have said it's the last trumpet in Revelation 11. I don't know if I believe that, because I don't believe Revelation 11:15 is the last trumpet. I think there's one more in the millennium when Christ returns with a trumpet blast. So it can't be the last trumpet, because Revelation 11:15, that trumpet opens up the bowl judgments, right? This trumpet, the church goes up. The trumpet in Revelation 11, God's bowl judgments come on the earth. It's kind of it's different, isn't it? They don't look the same. That's what I look at. Things that are different are not the same. And that's okay, right? That's okay. Let's see. The last trumpet in Matthew 24 there is to gather God's people during the tribulation and the millennium. The last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15 is the church age trumpet of this age, which we know as church age. All right, Revelation 4 through 19, there is no mention of the church. The saints that are mentioned there are not church saints, but tribulation saints. Okay. There's going to be scores of people being saved. We have the 144,000 witnesses going out preaching. We have the angel going out preaching a different gospel. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a different gospel. Matter of fact, we'll go ahead and go there. Revelation 14, verse 6. gives us that gospel. Revelation 14, 6, the 144,000 are Jews, right? Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. Again, they're called earth dwellers, right? These earth dwellers here. To every nation and tribe and tongue and people. So everyone will hear this gospel of tribulation. Everyone's going to hear it. He said with a loud voice, here's the gospel, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So that's the gospel that they're going to be preaching for 7 years in the tribulation period. The hour of judgment has come. 7 year judgment time. And that gospel is going to be given to every nation, language, and tongue. Man, isn't it amazing God in his mercy is still going to do that? So those that have never heard, right? Those that have never heard that are alive after the rapture, they will get a chance to hear. Their verses say, endure till the end, right? Endure till the end. Some of them are going to go, some of them are going to be martyred the first 3.5 years. They're the ones that are under Christ's throne saying, how long, O Lord, right? Until we get our just reward and punishment for what they've done to us. Okay, all those Gentiles being killed. Because it's going to be a bloodbath the first 3.5 years. There's going to be an onslaught against these believers here that turn to the Lord in the tribulation. It's going to be bad. Okay? So they're going to be preaching this gospel. We're going to see a lot of, everyone's going to hear. A lot are going to get saved. A lot are going to get killed. And then again, those that are not killed, right, that have not taken the mark of the beast, they are the ones that are going to go into the millennium, right? They will have eternal life. That generation that goes into the millennium will have eternal life. That's Matthew 24, 25. They're going to go in and have eternal life. Now, their kids and grandkids and grandkids, they might not. But that generation going in will be saved. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Good. Bingo. So that's what we believe. We believe that the church is already in heaven. And what's happening up there during the tribulation period? Judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat. What else? We're waiting, right? Yeah, so the bride will come down. See, that's the difference. The 10 virgins are not the bride of Christ. They're 10 virgins in the tribulation period. The bridegroom is coming, right, down with his bride. And the 10 virgins in Matthew 24, 25, 28, wherever it's at, you know, those, the 10 virgins, are not getting married. They're a different group of people, right? So, the church will come down with the Lord and rule and reign with him. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, let's digest some things right now. What have we learned so far? What if we remember? What has been brought back to our memory that we may have forgot? Or what is now strengthening our belief? Or are we more confused? What do you guys think? I hear a lot of crunching right now up here, which is good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the 3.5 year mid-trip point. I believe at that point they're going to go, wow, you know, we're going to go to our God. We realize that this Antichrist is not the Savior, and it's going to push them to the real Savior. Now, he's not going to be there, but they're going to know know, they're going to flee to the mountains, right? They're going to know, okay, you know, that's the point where Israel does repent and they're all going to be saved. It's at that midpoint when they realize they've been double crossed by the Antichrist. No, no, not according to Daniel and Romans. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. Good. Well, the 144,000 are Jews, and we have the two witnesses, and then we have the angel. I believe that they will know. I believe, and you know, with all these signs that they have, they will know their Old Testament. So that's why it's important that we know our Old Testament as far as tribulation. They're going to know these things. They're going to go, oh man, this is Daniel. You know, this is, Ezekiel. You know, and they're going to be pushed to Jesus. Yeah. And it's mainly the Lord, too. Maybe not so much Jesus, Yeshua, but the Lord himself. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. They'll be in for a great surprise when he comes down, though, and they see him. Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah, absolutely. But I think they'll have more of a Old Testament vibe to them because they'll be sacrificing and, you know, I think it'll all come together for them. You know, they'll put all these things together at that moment and realize, oh man, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Yeah, that actual specific verse. So say that again for me. I'll look. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Which proves the preacher of you even more, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. And again, go ahead, Carol. Yeah, we're reigning with them. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, exactly. And, you know, there'll be Jews and Gentiles that go into the millennium. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All Jews for sure that are left, and then Gentiles that not take the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't say that. We're just topic. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you'll know for sure. Let's just say I'm wrong about the pre-trib. We'll know for sure mid-trib, because for one, we'll have seen all these judgments from heaven coming down. We haven't seen any of these first 3.5-year judgments. The mark of the beast comes in this at the midpoint of the tribulation. So we're going to see the seal judgments for sure before the mark of the beast comes. I'm just saying if we're wrong with pre-trib, you know, that's just for sake of argument, say we're wrong, it's mid-trib, right? Or whatever, post-trib, whatever you want. So we'll definitely for sure see the seal judgments. We'll, without a shadow of a doubt, know, wow, here's the seal judgments, right? Go ahead, Dennis. That's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true, because that mark is an allegiance to the beast to worship him, you know. And then the secondary is he can't buy, sell, or anything. But the primary thing is I'm setting my allegiance to worship, you know, the beast in his image. And so they're not saying that with the vaccine, you know. And again, I believe with Dennis, we won't be deceived. We'll know exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We've had several types, right? The chip on our debit card, you know, tagging of fish and animals to track where they go. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do believe that, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it says it'll be in your right hand or in your forehead. Yeah, the number of a man, the Antichrist, not of man himself, but a man, one man, the beast, Satan. Yeah, it'll go in your right hand or in your forehead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. They're amazing how many types of this there are. Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Good. Fascinating, isn't it? And that's why there's so much, I wouldn't say controversy, it's many interpretations. Again, dear brothers in Christ, we're all looking at Scripture, so we're all using the Bible to try and defend our position. But at the end of the day, you know, that's why I like to fall back on Paul in the epistles to the church. Here's what we know we're supposed to be doing. No matter what happens down here, you know, what John's saying, here's what I know my purpose and my mission is now, you know. Excellent. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the conversations that we had and some of the questions that we don't have answers to yet. And Lord, give us wisdom to have answers for next week as we continue our topic here. And at any rate, Lord, whatever position tribulation-wise there is, Lord, we know that our purpose is to glorify you and to be ambassadors for Christ, have the fruit of the Spirit, and to be a witness, you know, living the gospel and telling others about Jesus Christ, bringing unity to your body and using our gifts. Lord, we're so thankful and grateful that that part is clear and that we have that firm foundation to stand on. Lord, bless our fellowship now and our next hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.